Sorry, Ted, no treats for you today.
I'm sorry. Say that again. No what?
No treats. We're passing around munchies. Okay, I'm calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for the Ruby Scott Oak Park Property Owners Association. It is 8:07. In attendance, all board members are here. Ken Spalding, Wendy Nagaris, Pete Scottsdale, and Jerry Hain. John Thompson is here as well with Adam LLC. And Ted Stanley is on the phone. Is there anybody else on the phone? Okay, thank you. All right, let's go ahead and roll. I just did the roll call. Next item is review and approve meeting minutes of October 15th. These were distributed quite some time ago and commented on, and I will move to approve the minutes as written. Okay, here's a second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll get Ken up a moment.
I'm like signing a blank check. Okay, aye.
Okay, the motion carries unanimous. The minutes are approved for October 15th. Okay, the third item is welcome and call to audience for comments. Ted, do you have any comments?
I have only one short question.
Okay.
I sent you that video on the treatment, and I think I also sent it to
me. Ken.
Yes. And did you look at it? And does it make any sense?
Yes, it does.
Have you seen it? Okay.
I don't feel tossed on it though.
I admit I haven't looked at it yet, been swamped in other things, but I do want to look at it. We're not working road issues right this month. We're trying to wrap up the CCNRs and a few other items.
Yep.
But January is when we're going to start working it, and by then we need to have looked at that. And, you know, I'll send it to the other board members.
What's the contents of the video?
Okay.
It's on a new approach to kind of sealing.
Seal coat that goes on the asphalt.
But it's not a seal coat. That's the whole
thing. Yeah, it's not a seal coat.
In brief, it rejuvenates the asphalt. And I'm not thinking of it so much in terms of the roads as for the runway, because that's the higher value item. It rejuvenates the asphalt and puts the, I can't pronounce it correctly, asphaltatic chemicals back into the asphalt, so that it remains more flexible, and it seems to be a better way to go than to just put a sealant down on it, which is an attempt to keep the chemicals into the asphalt. So it's different.
Okay.
But it's worth a look at. So you can pass the video around when you get a chance. Or send me an email and I'll send it to anybody that wants it.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. Any other comments? All right. We'll move on to the treasurer's report.
Take it away.
Okay. During the annual meeting, we went over the September financials in detail. What I thought I'd do is, if you turn to page 7 of the packet, I ran a financial statement as of today. It has substantially all the expenses, and but moreover, it has...
Can you show me that page? Because these aren't numbered.
It's entitled October 31st, but it's really as of today. It starts here at the balance sheet.
Balance sheet.
So it'll be behind the budget, the first page behind the budget. Or maybe...
Have it.
You don't have it. Did you print it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't print it. This was what was on the table.
It says balance sheet, right?
But it says 9:30.
That's 9:30.
It's a different one.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you got
the
it.
One that says 2930, right?
And then we keep turning. It should say 1031 on top.
1031 on top.
Well, I can talk to
well,
it.
Well, just go ahead.
I got it.
Okay, Pete's got it too.
Did you print yours out? Or did
I
you?
Did not.
Well, this one's a complete copy here.
Oh, am I looking at the wrong thing then?
Yeah.
Oh, I am. Looking at the annual meeting. Okay.
Well, the reason I wanted to run a financial statement up through today is it has landscaping expenses, includes the mowing, all the mowing costs, Carl's costs, as well as the tractor costs. And year-to-date landscaping is $7,200. We budgeted $4,000 for the year. And in the following year, for 2018, our budget includes $5,400. I bumped it, but not enough. Since year-to-date, we're at $7,200, and we're probably going to spend another, let's say, $400 in weeding for another weeding spray endeavor. Mm-hmm. That'll take us up to $7,600. So I'd like to increase the 2018 landscaping budget from $5,400 to $7,600. And then another adjustment I'd like to make to the budget is property taxes were $4,000 in 2017. We budgeted $4,100 in 2018. The actuals came in 2017 at $4,300. So I'd like to budget $4,400 for the property taxes. So just get some last-minute adjustments in there before we finalize it.
Well, I don't expect we'll finalize it until January when we
That's
have
right.
the new board yeah, in place. And I'm not seeing a 2017.
Here, I'll turn it to you for you. I'm not seeing this one either. Oh, there it is. It's these two pages. Otherwise, the cash position as of today is almost identical to where it was as of September 30th, which is approximately $22,500 in operating cash, $15,100 in reserves. Now, if you do look at the assessment revenue account, you'll see an alarming variance there. Please don't let that bother you. That'll even out by the end of the year. With the exception of delinquencies, it's primarily because as of 10-1, prepaids were zero. We'll have some prepaids by the end of the year, and that'll offset this variance. So what happens is last year we had so much in prepaids. I have an exact number somewhere. Last year we had $8,500 in prepaids. As of September 30th, we had $7,500 in prepaids, so it was only a $1,000 variance. Today we have zero in prepaids because we're starting the new quarter. And so I expect prepaids to be, it's been pretty stagnant with this HOA, and it is with a lot of HOAs. So the prepaids at December 31st will eat up a lot of this variance. So a bunch of the money that came in for the 2017 year came in 2016 in December, and I expect the same thing this year. So it probably will offset. That's all I have in the financials.
So you reduce the attorney's fees and you want to increase the...
I want to increase landscaping and I want to increase property taxes slightly.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. We don't really need to vote on it.
No.
Right, because we're not approving the budget. Any other comments on that? No? Okay. Do you want to go back to the balance sheet for 1031 just to give us the synopsis there or... Did you already do that?
Well, I did. I'm happy to go over it again.
Yeah, I was butting.
All right, now I got to find where I was.
Page 7, apparently.
So balance sheet again, $22,500 in operating funds as of today. In reserve funds, we have $15,100. So just around $37,600 in cash.
Thank you. Good.
The note payable account you see in the liability section does reflect the amortization of the September payment we made this year, which was the fifth installment on the note. Okay.
So just a comment that we have $37,000 left in cash. We
expect another $4,000 in assessments to come in.
Okay. We have very few of our yearly costs are left for the year, which is good. That means that we have some gate repair that we need to do and some potential spraying, which we'll talk about. But aside from that, we've done all the other things we thought we were going to do. We never did the concrete repair along the side of the runway. So those are kind of outstanding items for the rest of the year, which we need to think about. Any other questions on the budget and the financials? Okay.
Total liability, $115,000, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the amortized balance on the note after the September payment.
If we could update this lot number, it's actually 164B. I believe.
I'll verify that.
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
I move that we approve the treasurer's report as written.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Old business. CCNR revision update. I'll go ahead and talk to that. So we did get all the documents updated and sent out for review by all members of the association in the hopes to get comments back that will encourage full passage, at least of the main document. So we have a deadline for next Wednesday to receive comments back, and then we'll do another spin on it. We've received very little comments so far, but folks are encouraged to comment, and if you have arguments for or against any of the separate measures, to also provide those. John has taken over control of the documents, so he is now incorporating per Jerry and I's, and the committee. So John can insert for and against arguments into the separate measures without any comment by the committee. But right. Anything else needs to be passed by the committee, as in the main document.
How are you going to label the comments? Are you going to put them by date, by person?
What's your preference?
By date?
I think by date would be best, yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about the additional... Anything that's a comment on the main document just needs to be forwarded to Jerry and I for consumption by the committee to see if we want to incorporate that or not.
Then any changes for or against, I'll keep it anonymous.
I don't know about that. I was even the ones we have, I was starting to think it might be best to just go ahead and put names, just like a regular election has. You know, like Pima County elections, you always see the names of the person who submitted it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right with me. But.
You're thinking not, huh?
Well, seems some biased opinions against.
Uh-huh. Well, don't we already have names against the ones that we've got?
No, I didn't put the names in. And that was just me. I didn't ask anybody if that's what we wanted to do. I just kind of did that.
I think the only consideration would be, would it deter anybody knowing that their name would be next to the comment. If it's not going to deter, then it's fine. I'm just concerned whether it would deter.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah, we want to try and get as many comments as we can.
So no names.
No names. Okay.
Put commenter in the date. What's the word?
Ted, do you agree with that, being on the committee?
Well, my sentiment there is that the identity of the commenter should be up to the commenter, in the same way that if you see a newspaper article and people chime in on that, they have the option to use whatever handle, for lack of a better term, they wish, or they're certainly can use their actual name. I think if somebody wishes to remain anonymous, I think that John, let's say, should say, well, if you want to be anonymous, we'll publish it that way.
We're gonna
keep your name attached to your comment.
I think what I'd like to present to anybody who makes comments, I've only had one so far, is that we default to anonymous unless you'd like to keep your name in there.
Yes, I like that. Jerry,
that's a reasonable thing to do.
Yes, that would be a good idea.
Okay, that's how I'll present it.
That way, the people who have already written the comments from the committee,
mm-hmm.
same thing for them. It's going to be anonymous unless they want their name put against it.
Good idea, Ted. So that's the update. I mean, you guys have seen the latest. We haven't been getting a lot of comments back. I'm still trying hard to get it done by the end of the year and get it recorded by the end of the year. I think it's important to get this done and off the plate. Okay. The next item is director election. John has sent out a draft ballot. We are currently giving... before we go there, the nomination committee, we need to appoint new people for the nomination committee for this year. I've already talked to Madonna and Randy Wells, and they've agreed to serve. So I would like to, I move to appoint Madonna Taylor and Randy Wells to the nomination committee. And I'd like a second on that.
I'll second.
Any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. You got all that, John?
I do. Now, who's going to be the chair?
I'll still be the chair. I don't know.
Is anybody
unless one of you guys, it has to be a board member.
Is anybody up for re-election next year?
Well, Jerry is.
Next year?
Oh. Well, yeah, me and Pete are.
That quick?
It wasn't quick in my book. I don't know.
Wow.
Like full empty.
Time. Wise.
Okay. So that's done. So John has provided a ballot for consideration of the board.
It's in the packet. And I think it's in the very last. Towards the
number
end.
9.
So part of this is, when do we close the votes? Oh, one more thing on the... I'm going to go back to the CCNRs. Just on the official voting, the draft ballot that I sent around actually said your votes are requested by a certain date. And the whole reason there is if we don't have a quorum by that date, we'll keep it open and then we'll go back and ping the people who haven't voted yet.
You're talking about CCNR.
The CCNR, that's not a secret ballot, so we're allowed to do that. So I just wanted you to understand why I said requested by in that ballot.
No, that's what Adam recommends always is to put a requested date. That way you mm-hmm. can send out seconds and thirds
mm-hmm.
and try and garnish.
Is there a statement that says as of what date the members must be in good standing?
Oh.
That's when the count is actually performed, and so...
Is that related to the membership?
Yeah, it is. It's actually on that ballot.
It is?
Yes.
I believe it says 2/3 of the membership who are in good standing or something like that.
As of what date? Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say as of what date. It says...
Well, that's where I'm going.
I can add that to the ballot to clarify that the date of the count, and we'll probably want to put that in the ballot somewhere. Isn't
yes,
it?
I think so. That's a good point.
So those individuals...
They know.
I hate to put a drop-dead date in the ballot, though.
It's not going to be a drop-dead. It's when you're going to pull the numbers to check on their standing.
Okay.
So that could be the requested by date.
Must be in good standing as of whatever date choose.
Well, let's just put a general comment. The day that the ballots are finally, the final count date, you must be in good standing.
Okay.
Just like it is on this ballot, the sample ballot I have for the board election. If you take a look at the very last paragraph. Yeah. Your dues must be current on election day for your ballot to be counted.
I'm still hydrated.
Yeah, you sound a little weak there. The only thing that on the election ballot, we're switching topics back to the election ballot now, that the mail ballot must be received by November 20th. The reason John has that date there is that's the normal monthly date of the board meeting.
Well, the 21st is the normal monthly date of the board meeting.
Okay.
Tuesday, you just joined us. Hello?
Hello?
Is somebody new there?
Yeah, I just dialed in.
Okay, who's, just so we can get your name down, what's your name?
This is Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan.
How are you doing?
All right. All right, so we're, Alan, we're on the director election. So the reason we chose, we're looking at the ballot and just reviewing it. We put November 20th because it's the day before the board of directors meeting on the 21st, so John would come here and we'd do the ballot counting with the nomination committee before the meeting. But my question is, that's Thanksgiving week. And my thought is to move it back to November 13th. I can do either, but and you guys all said you would be here, but
yeah, I'm not going to work.
Maybe it'd be best to just leave it as it is. Huh? Are you going anywhere, John?
No.
I don't travel on holidays. Suicide.
Yeah.
When is
the 21st is a Tuesday.
Of November.
So
I should be good.
23rd would be Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I should be good. Let's just
stick with that then. Okay. That's fine. And so the ballot counting will be done at my house at 3:30. And then we'll come over here to Jerry's for the board of directors meeting. Thank you so much, Jerry, for offering your hangar. This has been lovely.
And that will be the new board meeting, or will the new board commence in January?
The new board commences in January.
Thank you.
Okay. And we've got all the names on here appropriately. So I think this ballot is good as is.
When would you like me to send the ballot?
I thought it important to give the candidates at least another week to submit candidate letters.
That's pretty much what I'm telling everybody that responds. How much time do I have to put a bio together? So 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah. So maybe November 1st?
What day is that?
That's today, the 17th. That's another 2 weeks. Or mid-next week, the 25th, October 25th. I don't care.
Sooner is better because, the members here, and I assume they have planes, and so they're traveling a lot, so and these go to their homes, so the more time they have to get home and look at it, the better.
Okay. So you mailed out a request for the candidates letter at least a week ago, is that right?
That went out a while ago, yeah.
Okay, so why don't we say the 25th is when ballots will go out and candidate letters will be in hand. So you'll call or you'll send an email to...
Yep, I'll start rounding up.
Okay, thank you.
And my experience is that not everyone provides a bio. Some people are very uncomfortable about it. Some people don't get around it to doing it. Some people give a dissertation, you know, that's pages long. So, you know, it's all across the board what you get. So whatever we get, we'll disseminate.
Right.
Most ballots, if a board member was a previous board member, it'll just note it somewhere in the ballot. I didn't on this one. I just wasn't sure if you had a preference or not.
I don't think we should. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, in your note to the candidates, I would suggest something like even a few sentences is worthwhile. You know, how long have you owned property, you know, or what are your concerns or careabouts for the other park? That kind of thing, so people know, you know, something about what they're voting for.
Okay.
All right. Is that everything on the election, John?
That's all I have.
Okay. The next topic is the gate security cameras. Mike Michaels, big thanks to Mike Michaels for doing a lot of legwork to meet with three contractors to get bids for a security system at the front gate. This is all in response to some vandalism that we incurred a couple of months ago. John, is there the summary?
Looks like this. It's right after the ballot.
I sound flaky today.
There you go.
All right. I did ask John, Mike, if he had a preference on either of these three companies, as in, did one seem more reputable than the other? And he said they were all very professional. So we're looking at, John put together a summary of the bids so that we could look at them side by side. John, do you want to describe any of this?
They all contained four cameras. And one contains a mast for lights. That's in Compass. Otherwise, I'm an accountant, so I've never had an association that installed these things, so I don't have much knowledge on these systems.
Mm-hmm.
But Encompass is installing a mast for a light that we can put as many lights as we want on that mast. They're offering the largest monitor, 24-inch versus 23 and 19. And they're also the least costly. They came in at $1,810 versus More Security, which came in at $2,280. And ADT, which is the premier company, as a matter of fact, that's what Adam uses for our security, they came in at $2,495.
And this is installed, which is great.
ADT offered some sort of lease option. I didn't see what the lease price was. They had also a $25 a month maintenance fee on that. I didn't know what that related to. But you know, I was favorably leaning. You know, I liked Encompass, and I'm not a board member, so my preference means nothing. But because it includes a mast for a light, and it's only $40 to install that mast, you know, that's a great...
Yeah, it looks like they're looking for business.
Yeah, yeah, they're hungry for it.
But I'm going to throw a little kink in here, sorry. I received this in the association mailbox. It's a company that does security systems and weather stations for small airports. I have a feeling they would be very expensive, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I got this. I haven't done any research on it. They're called Paradigm Solutions. So I've got this here if anybody's interested in researching it. The other thing I wanted to understand, and John, I don't know, or Ken, I know you've been reading this stuff too, is each of these has cameras plus a recorder, right? And do we know how big the recorders are for each of these? Do you have all the emails, like one copy of
all I have is Encompass offered an 8-channel recorder. The other two offered a 4-channel.
So if we wanted
they're all 8 high definition. They're all night vision. And that exhaust my knowledge.
Okay. So it sounds like with 8-channel we can add cameras if we needed to, which sounds like a good thing.
Where? I mean, you're going to be maxed out at 4 of them out at the front gate.
Yeah.
You really don't need extra channels unless you plan on somehow getting that signal from the runway to the front gate, mm-hmm. where the recorder is.
Yeah.
I don't think that is available to us. So any channels, you know, here nor there.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any further comments. I'd like to go ahead and vote on this.
He is sitting at $1,800.
Yeah.
None of those have the. None of them have a light. Do you have any kind of quote on a light? On light.
I'm getting that. The contractor that I'm talking with to install the door and the windows is also going to install a light, and he's just recently installed security lights at an apartment complex, and so he's got a light he really likes a lot. It won't be connected electronically. It'll be solar-based.
Motion sensors.
Motion-centered photo cell charged lights, so that someone can't come and just pull a wire off and start walking around in the dark. Mm-hmm. And if it's up on the mast that's already installed, you know, you can install a couple lights, one facing forward, one facing backwards, and then however. So
okay.
That's what he's going to present.
Wendy, it's Ted.
Yes. Go ahead, Ted.
Just some thoughts that come to mind, which I don't know if anyone has asked yet or not, but whomever you choose, the questions that I would be asking are, you know, what's the warranty on the installation? What protection is included in the event of a power surge if it's powered by the electrical grid? And how thermally sensitive are the devices? In other words, are they going to stand up to the Arizona sun?
Good comments, Ted. This is Pete. I was thinking the same thing. You chimed in just before I got there.
I can answer the last one, and that is that all three companies have been used by various associations in Adam, and all I have so far, the results have been good. I haven't heard any negative comments from any of the systems they've installed. So they've all come recommended by other associations, all three of these. ADT specifically by Adam, because that's the security company we use. They're the largest firm that's presented here.
So, not being involved with it and stuff like that, you know, as far as the discussion with these different companies here, but like Ted suggested there, you know, we have got some environmental issues out there, and I wonder if that was actually talked about with the installation. And, you know, my first and foremost would be lightning, because, you know, we get a lot of lightning strikes around here, and they disable stuff, like, really quickly. The second thing was, is that I know you're talking about putting, bars up on the door and windows and stuff like that. I guess all the major equipment's going to be housed inside of the building out there. How are the cameras protected? There's another question I have in my mind, because, you know, I know we got 4 cameras, and they're probably all going different directions and stuff like that. Sunshine, you know, as the sun gets low on the horizon, stuff like that, I know that, you know, it probably isn't a big deal, but, you know, things do wear out here. The anything made of plastic basically starts to degrade with time. Is it something that we can basically maintain as we go along, or are we going to enter into an agreement with the company to basically continually maintain this thing as stuff happens? I feel bad not being involved with the process and then coming up with these questions.
I haven't been able to do
it. Yeah, I was hoping Mike would participate in this board meeting, but he made it pretty clear that his job was done. He did all the work to get the bids, and he wasn't interested in presenting anything or additional knowledge. He said, what I gave you is what I have.
Great, because you know, it's like, okay, you got a monitor in there. Well, do we need the monitor other than to just make sure that the cameras are working properly? You know, put a monitor out there. That looks like something somebody wants to walk off with. I'm really happy that Mike can't put the effort into this stuff like that. I just got more questions, I guess, than we have answers on the sheet here in front of us. Because, you know, been out here quite a long time, and we've had things from, we put mailboxes out there and they were destroyed. We put, we've had a lot of wear and tear in our gate out there, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's not been as bad as it was when we first got out here. But as soon as we put something new and glitzy out there, you know, it runs the risk of being, you know, vandalized because it attracts attention. So it was like, you know, the cameras go up, are they low profile? Do they get to be
seen? I'm wondering if we can put them below the parapet, except, you know, just sticking out, and then maybe box them somehow, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like, you know, if this, you know, it goes to a recorder inside the building out there. Do we have to go out there and actually monitor that occasionally and rewind it, so to speak?
Probably.
Reset it or something like that? And just operationally, I'm just kind of curious how a system like this would work.
These things come with like terabytes of storage, and I'm sure it has a way of knowing when it's running out and reusing. There's a system you'll put up where every 16 days...
It just continually...
So we're talking.
I don't know that we'd be saving it. It's only when there's an event that we want to go back and look at that we would go check it, mm-hmm. probably.
But the thing is, as soon as the event happens, we're going to go and look.
Yeah.
So we're not going to wait a week.
Right.
So we shouldn't end up overriding it. And most of those, it's not a week. It's more like a month.
And the final thing I would have to say is that, you know, we have a rodent problem out here when it comes to electrical wiring. It has to be armored because pack rats and mice love wire out here.
So conduit upright up to the...
Right. Was this included into the arrangement? They just want to go out there and just staple wires to the building.
Yeah, that's not
going to work. That won't work.
Let's talk out loud about some of these issues. Moore and ADT bundled their prices, and so I can't split that out, but Encompass gave us unbundled prices. And so for the mechanism that actually does all the recording, the terabyte, multi-terabyte system, plus the four cameras, plus a 24-inch monitor was $725 for all of that. So I'm guessing the cameras aren't something...
They have
something...
the system at Costco right mm-hmm. now, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like $850.
So a replacement camera, let's say one goes bad because of sun after a year and a half, 2 years, you know, you just get another
one. Yeah, sun, wind, weather, you know, water.
You just get another one. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like...
At least it's not hugely expensive once we have the installation done.
Yeah, and so, you know, my guess is that, you know, I wouldn't recommend for something that's $725 to pay $25 a month to, you know, have some sort of, you know...
Right.
If the real expensive stuff's locked in the gatehouse there with the, you know, screens that, you know, you can't even get your fingers through, then, you know, my humble recommendation is the cameras are, you know, that is what it is. If we start going through, you know, six or seven cameras a year, then we think about caging them.
I agree with everything you said. I had another comment. I've been working on the gate issue we're having, that the range of the receivers is diminished and people are struggling to get in through the keypad. John went and picked up that old gate controller. I'm going to see if we can connect that up without having to have a phone line. Let's say each person has their own code, and there's so many codes that can authorize entry, and then we'd have a couple for trusted vendors or whatever. But as part of that, I've been talking with Steve from Kaiser, and he's recommending also that we put a lightning rod up there, and he can do that to shelter, you know, our antennas up there and so on. So that might come just as a part of what I'm currently working on to get that gate fixed.
Yeah, so I put a lightning rod on my house because actually my house has been struck three times
and
caused damage to the stucco.
Really?
Because the metal screen that's just underneath the stucco. And it'll actually explode it. So, you know, by putting the lightning rod up there, it actually, I think, is. I haven't had any further damage, but I haven't noticed whether or not it's been hit or not. Hopefully, it's been doing its job.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking that's worthwhile, especially if we're going to put some expensive stuff up there. So, he's going to be coming out in next week.
So, I guess, you know, like I said, you know, the cost of these things isn't that much. I just don't want to, you know, spend this money and go have just, you know, because environment that we have out here just destroy it, you know, fairly quickly. Yeah. Just curiosity, you know, as we move forward on this. I know that we probably want to get it going sooner rather than later. But
yeah, and my thought is I'm actually all for just moving forward because it seems like every time we do one of these things, we learn so much with the first time that, you know, we're going to learn something and then, you know, we're going to have a problem somehow, and we'll at least be moving forward and
why don't we take the high amount and make a motion to accept that, but not do it yet until we get some answers that you guys have talked about, or you want, you know. Then that part is out of the way. Mm-hmm. These are the three selections. Okay, fine.
That's a good idea.
Then we need to find out about specifics of the warranty, regardless to the environment, power surges, such thermal heat, conduit. Are they going to do it all in conduit? What are they going to do? I don't think that's on them. Those are the questions that are right up front.
Well, that's typically worded in the minutes as the board approved to spend up to $2,500 on the system. Subject to
well, plus
more
tax,
investigation.
Plus tax.
So the question is, who's going to do the investigation? John, is that something that Adam does?
Yeah,
as
well,
part
I can follow. I can follow up on that.
Yeah.
You're a good man.
You are. Yeah.
No one read my newsletter, though. I worked hard on that.
I know. I did finally.
Ken read it and commented on it the day I put it out. No one else did. I worked hard on that.
Okay, so. Do you have all those questions?
So it's conduit, environmental, power surge, and
thermal
lighting.
Thermal heat.
Yeah. Environmental, yeah.
And what's the warranty?
Yeah.
Warranty. Length of?
What, Wendy?
Yes, Dad?
Also, what's the maintenance covered?
I can offer a low-cost solution.
What's that?
But forgive me because I just can't resist. So you put up a sign out there by the gatehouse, and it says that two nights a week a man sits alone in the dark with a shotgun. you guess which night.
That doesn't sound too welcoming.
I've got a few other signs that I'd like to put out there too. I don't think we want to talk about it.
Okay, I'm going to move that we approve up to $2,500 for the purchase of a security system for the front gate.
How much?
$2,500.
Well, what about plus taxes?
Oh, plus taxes, I'm sorry. $3,000. I think it's going to be.
Is that all right? Are we okay with $3,000?
It's a safe motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. So the motion is to approve $3,000 maximum for security system at the front gate. Jerry has seconded. Any further discussion?
Then once those answers come back, then we go through this through email.
Yeah. Is that okay, John? Oh, this is a major contractor, so, well, not major, but it's over. Isn't there a...
By the time we get all these answers, it'll be our next board meeting.
Okay. If we happen to be really speedy, we can do it by email. Otherwise, we can wait until the next board meeting. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the motion is still on the table. Any other discussions that we need to have? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. There's more. There's.
Oh, jeez.
Rat holding them over there, huh?
All right. The next topic on the agenda: common area update. The only thing I'll mention is that at the annual meeting, there were some really good ideas tossed around about things that might be inexpensive to do in the common area and yet be very useful to the membership and the association as far as maintenance. And one of them was to put in a mobile water tank, which would facilitate spraying, would help when people fly in and they need, you know, just some water for whatever, and might help to also in the future be able to put, you know, some small bathroom or Ramada and then a sink, you know, or something like that, that could be relatively inexpensive but would be very helpful in usage of the common area, as you know, for community events as well as for, you know, event, you know, promotional events such as fly-ins. So that was discussed. I don't know that we have any hard data on any of that yet. Any other comments on that, John?
I'm happy to do some research on a system. How many gallons are we looking at?
Well, we you know, we've all pretty much dumped it there. I think we can throw it together pretty quick. I was kind of thinking that, you know, once we get the CCNRs out of the way and then we start looking at the main site plan out there for the common area, then that's when we're serious about that. But again, you know, the CCNR seems to be the thing that needs to be taken care of first. And I would be more happy to participate with that. I just can't do it for another month or so.
Okay.
The gun to our head right now is just how long Sandy will make his water tank available.
It's your water tank.
It's your water tank.
Yeah, so
I thought it was Sandy's.
No, he has the gen. It's cobbled from. Yeah, is it his trailer?
His trailer, my tank, but I have a portable water tank as well. It's not as big, but you know, it's easy to fill.
Okay.
But you know, if we need it, you know, it's always available. I don't have it. You know,
so we don't have a gun to our head.
I'm sorry?
We don't have a gun to our head to try and find.
No, yeah, I've got a 250-gallon tank that's very good anytime we need it.
With the pump and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll give me five trips around before I have to refill the 250. Okay.
And that 250 is obviously portable, so
yeah.
You could roll it up
trailer.
To our place and
absolutely.
Fill it up.
It's on our old trailer, in fact. You have to haul it with a truck, but, you know, mm-hmm. Couldn't hook it to the back of the Ranger. It wouldn't like that.
Okay.
You don't make Luke lug it around?
He does, quite handily when it's empty, but...
do you have any water, Jimmy, that I can?
I don't.
Okay.
Oh, the...
There's cups.
The cups are there, and the water is potable in the sink. That's what we drink.
Yep.
Let it run for a moment before you use it.
Yeah, because as the common area starts to get, you know, developed a little bit and we kind of figure where things are going, then I think a nice 2,500-gallon tank, you know, would be, you know, that's a $1,400 item. And then, you know, the harvesting pumps, which I've been using for years over here, are dirt cheap. And a small pressure tank to, you know, kick the pressure up there is $130. I mean, it's a fairly inexpensive system. They put together pretty quickly.
Wow.
In fact, we did that up here at the hangar up here, and literally, you know, we're not finished with it because we got involved doing other things, but, you know, the total cost of putting everything in, just dollar-wise, I think, was probably still less than
$2,000. Okay. That would be handy. Okay. We also talked not sure if it was there. As far as putting a, you know, porta potty or, you know, we're thinking like a composting toilet or something like that could be a permanent fixture and would help alleviate, you know, issues when we do want to have events, or it'd be nice to be able to just have a monthly whatever. You know, people have been talking about that for forever, and it'd be nice to move forward on something like that.
Yeah, and again, I think it comes down to when we start, when we get serious about the common area, you know, where something like that goes.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's movable. That's why I was kind of excited.
Well, a composting toilet, yeah, you know, it's but, you know, if we know where the, you know, main hangar complex is going to be, I would say that we should actually put a septic tank in out there and put it right
in
our water system. You know, because you see what happens at all the you know, parks and recreation sites, the composting toilets.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a nightmare. But, yeah, you know, I would like to see something like that. That would only help. You know, if we get to the point where we start, you know, bringing more planes in out here for visitors and or tie downs and stuff, and when we get hangars, you know, you're going to have some place for people to, you know, stop at before they jump in the plane and go. And it's just part of what we have to have out there to support the common area.
Yeah. Okay. John, we have in here temporary ultralight. What's the latest on that?
Gosh, now I have to remember. After the last meeting, I remember contacting the person and telling them that we're favorably...
You voted on it at the last meeting, that's
yeah,
right. And then you sent him an email, and he said, that's great news.
And then he's getting his ducks in a row, and he's going to get back to me when he's ready to move forward, I think.
I think he needs to make a final, like, written proposal to us of what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's putting it together, but he has to get some other things for his ultralight together. I'm not even sure he has the ultralight.
Okay.
So we're going to put him? Mm-mm.
So he said, you know, hold off sending me a lease agreement at this point. I'm not ready to sign one, but, you know, I'm happy to sign one. The price is great. The rent looks good. The rent and the runway use agreement was fine. So I think the onus is on him for an action item.
Okay.
I'll check up on it. I'll just send him a friendly note saying, hey, the board met and continue to be interested.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is insurance coverage. John, you want to cover it?
Yeah, we got the volunteer program bound. And I sent the backhoe information into the insurance of the questions. You know, we want property and liability on this thing. They came back with, you know, hey, if it's within X feet of where it's parked, then you're currently covered, but if you want something more than that, we have to do something more. I said, we do want something more. You know, 1,000 feet from where it's parked probably isn't going to cut it. And so they haven't gotten back to me. I sent them an email maybe a week ago, just after the annual meeting, and still waiting to hear back.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Favorite topic, roadside projects.
Mm.
Is that?
No,
are you able? Is it time to wave the right white flag? Or
well, again, you know, we need to do it, but you know, I didn't think we're running out of options and had to do something immediately.
I don't think it's
Sandy's construction project seems to be, you know, taming down as far as trucks don't know where they need to go and stuff like that, but you know, it's something we will need to revisit.
And when you put the signs up, it seriously helped from what I saw.
We just need to replace
them with permanent signs.
Right. And it's something we do need to do, but it's not pressing at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and Google Maps has been correct.
Yeah,
I said this at the annual meeting.
Yeah,
we finally
Google
got
Maps.
It corrected.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, it takes you right to Ruby Star now instead of taking you through the
desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest.
That was the biggest problem.
Yeah, the biggest problem, you know, is that people were relying on that electronic device. And,
yeah.
And so, but again, you know, I feel bad. I haven't done anything on it and stuff like that. I'd like to. I
don't want you to feel like you're, you know, like we're holding a hammer over
no,
you.
No, I'm more than happy to get after it and stuff. I just don't have the time at all at the moment. You know,
can you foresee, or should we do?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that this thing wrestling with the feds here needs to be over with.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be over this month, and hopefully it'll be over with next month and stuff. And, you know, it might be the first of the year before this gets done. But then that puts me right into glider annual season, and then we'll be busy as hell all the way up till May. So, you know,
If you give me a list of what kind of signs you want.
Or your plan that you have written out. Maybe he can get it.
Yeah, you know, I have, like I said, I use a company called Budget Signs, and they give great prices.
Okay, I'll do my list.
You could probably do it for half of it, but I think that in the whole versus the value of your time, it's worthwhile to spend.
Okay. Yeah,
getting commercially done, you want them so high off the ground, portable, so that you know they're on some sort of triangular thing that you can pick up and put down someplace else, that the wind's not going to blow over. You know.
I'll at least get that together.
Give me a list.
I'm thinking your knowledge and so on might be better spent on common area than doing the signs.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
They know exactly, you know, the type of materials to use for, you know, the passes all that needs to be passed. No one's going to come and say, I didn't see the sign, and all that stuff. So it takes a lot of hassles away.
Okay.
Your time's valuable.
Okay. So John's going to take a look at the plan and get a bit.
I'll dig up what I put together. I'll refine what I put together.
Whatever, on the back of a napkin, just, you know, here's what the sign should say.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah, there's a lot of that around here.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's it for old business. New business. We got the mowing done. Carl did that.
I drove around the property during the annual meeting again today, thinking that to see. I haven't seen any new growth, so the mowing worked great. Mm-hmm. So there's
not much new stuff coming up right now. I don't know. Ken, you're the agriculture guy. What do you think?
I think that some of the weeds I've seen, they don't seem to be growing, and they don't seem to have died. So the question is, when they get the water, what are we going to see? I'm not all sold on that herbicide that you guys have chosen to use.
Uh-huh.
It's my opinion. I'm just seeing the results, and I don't particularly like the results. It's going to die. It's going to die. You know.
It was a jungle out there.
I know. I'm looking also at the perimeter of the perimeter, the fence perimeter, going all the way around. You know, at least on the east and the north side. And yes, I can see where you've sprayed, but it didn't. You didn't take it down to the root. It didn't kill it. It's half living. So that's my point. That's my point about even doing along the taxiways, the runway, and whatever. Yeah, you hit them. It doesn't seem to go down, travel down systemically down and kill the roots off.
So what he sprayed had the Roundup stuff and the other stuff. So my thought is we're not getting enough chemical down. And my thought was that instead of doing spraying with the bar, is to take a whack of just driving around everywhere and with the wand hit the spots that are being stubborn.
Yeah, I would agree.
I thought the material that you're using actually had to have rainfall as well, too, to soak it into the ground.
Yeah, that's what originally when I bought this stuff, that's what they had told me. And then they modified their material that comes with it, and it made it seem less important. So this last time, well, actually, we did get some. We got a lot of rain right after John sprayed, and I'm afraid it was too much.
Too much, at that point.
So there's like this balance that's hard to get, and so that's why doing it before the winter rains, I think, is better. But I don't think we need to do the whole with the spray bar thing. I'm thinking with the wand and hit the stuff that's alive still.
Before the rains hit, you got to do preventive.
When I was back in the Midwest for the summer months working on the property back there, I used Tractor Supply, I used a derivative of, actually it was by trade name of Roundup on my sprayer back there.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 weeks, that stuff was dead to the point you could rake it out. I mean, I didn't have desert broom, Euro broom, whatever you call it, but I still had some pretty nasty stuff on the acreage back there, and it's dead. It's there in a doornail. I don't expect it to come back.
But that's what happens when we spray our driveway too. But I think we just put a lot more.
Well, the concentration
down.
Amount was, I think I was using 2 or 3%.
Oh yeah, that's a lot more.
And that's usually at the top of the scale. on,
yeah,
on
not
the amount you're going
much.
Down. If you're down around the 0.5% or the 1%, it works.
The Roundup stuff is actually cheap. We've been getting it at Tractor Supply. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was a forest when I hit them.
Sure would.
I mean, it was just way overgrown. I wish we had mowed first before I had a chance to spray.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I was sent you that email wondering, now that we mowed, let's get the spray down while it's... so it has a better chance of penetrating.
I was just really happy when I landed last time that all the big stuff was down. I was afraid I was going to have to keep the wings loaded until I got past everything. And hit the brakes really hard at the top end.
There's this other stuff that they had too, and I had bought it. I haven't used it yet. That was what they call the Total Control. I got it from, I think it's called Total Control. And it's pricey, but I haven't used it yet.
So we still have, I ordered enough for another go around earlier in the year, so we have the material.
Do I have it right here?
Yeah, you have it right here.
That's what I thought.
So we have the materials of it. So regardless, we need to use up what we've got, right?
Maybe we can increase the concentrate a little bit on the Roundup. Yeah, if Mike can run some more numbers for it. And
run it up to 2 or 3%, you're gonna see a nice difference.
What's in that sheet? That sheet I made, actually, with the concentrations.
Yeah, but, I can't recommend a concentration in my position.
No, but...
because Adam's on the line here. I'm covered under Adam's insurance, but that includes both, you know, all the insurance. And so if I mess that up...
No, I'll do it, though.
I'll
talk with Ken, and we'll come up with a new formula.
Just don't spray it next to roots that you want to keep.
Right, that's the thing. It's...
Well, I can't imagine anything
else. I can't imagine
anything.
Well, you don't go expert on weed spraying and stuff like that, but Arizona plants and stuff, their roots go down deep really, really fast. And unless you soak the ground, it's not going to reach the roots. I mean, all you're doing is putting defoliant on the top of the plants.
You know,
they're going to come back next time it rains.
It takes like 3 years. The soil sterilant stuff said 3 years of applications to make it really
soak. It's not wet enough,
Egg spray, the company up in, was it Tempe that I bought the sprayer from? Made the order. They said that the ranchers tend to they use that same type of stuff that you've got, but they tend to go in with a real, real wet mix, and for that purpose of getting that stuff down into the root system, you know. So I guess use more water and still with the same concentration. I don't know. That's kind of self does, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But how that works, I don't know. But the point of it was, because we're in the climate we're in, the dry climate, that's what the ranchers do, and they have success with it.
Yeah.
Maybe make two passes. Because I can only get that tractor going so
one
slow
second.
Before you know,
right.
It stops.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of these things.
Yeah.
So maybe we just go two passes around and soak it twice.
Well, by then it's dry from the first pass, though. So,
well, yeah. I mean,
I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right.
But see, where the Roundup product, you know, and some of that glyphosate, that's all systemic.
If you want to use my tractor, it's got a centrifugal, so you can go as slow as you want.
Does it have centrifugal?
Yeah, you just push on the pedal and it goes. You put pull your foot off, it stops. It's a brake. So.
Well, is this stuff that
I want to give Ted a chance to make his comment. Ted?
Yes.
A quick question and then a comment. One are the weeds that are the problem, are they pretty uniform throughout the area that's being treated?
I would say not, but I think there's some areas. Part of the problem on the fence line is different from the roads. The fence line is hard to get to, and we can't spray over it, and you can't use the bar as easily as you do on the roads.
You can't use the bar at all.
Yeah.
No. But
which is easier?
My question is are the weeds themselves, the same,
genus and species
variety that's a problem?
So some areas along the air park have been defoliated, and there's just dirt on the road, and then some areas have not. And I think those are the areas that obviously get more water, and we haven't gotten down to the roots yet. But I think they're pretty much the same stuff.
If you take a look at the north taxiway, you'll see a good example of a stubborn type of indigenous foliage that likes to come up and stay up.
Yeah.
And I think you may have seen it.
Well, so here's my comment.
Did I ever?
My comment is, would it make any sense to, you know, for those of you who are in the know, to collectively come up with arbitrarily three or four different treatment modes, and then selectively try those three or four modes over a small area. In other words, basically what you're doing is a test patch, the way they test patch pavement in highways, so that you pick a mode, you try it in one spot or two spots, and then you do the same thing with the other modes that you select. And, you know, it's going to take some time, but presumably a year later you're going to find out, well, gee, this one didn't work worth a damn, and this one worked great. So then you answer the question rather than spending a whole pile of money on something and go, oh, geez, that didn't work, let's try something else.
Well, I go back to my experience around my home and up the driveway, and I've more or less eradicated cat claw and desert broom.
Desert broom, yeah.
And but I've used it with glyphosate, which is a Roundup commercial. Roundup's the commercial name, but the chemical is glyphosate that's in it. And it took a while. It took a good 6 months, maybe a couple application, but they're dead. You know, so, and cat claw is that stuff likes to come back, and it's pretty nasty stuff. Of course, you got your mesquites and other things of that nature, but I think the process that we're using, I'm just saying, don't go to the heavy expense of some of this chemical that you want to wait for a water-in type thing,
mm-hmm.
where you can get 2-3 applications
just the
of Roundup.
But it's the labor that's the problem. It's John.
Well, yeah. Pay me now, you're going to pay me later. What do you want
to
do?
Well, it's either... Yeah. The thought was to use it in the herbicide versus in the labor.
But I think, like I said, over a couple of applications of that stuff on these nasty stuff, you're gonna eradicate it.
Well, okay, so here's my thought, is we've got the stuff here. I think we should go ahead and do another round.
Yeah.
Use up the stuff.
It's paid for. Yeah.
It's paid for, and then go back next year and perhaps just do the glyphosate in a part and see how well that does. Because you're right, it would be a heck of a lot less expensive to just do that. But I would like, so there are some areas like in the middle of the road, John, that do need a wand as opposed to the
yeah.
What do you call it?
You need a spot spraying instead of the wand. Or you need a wand, which is spot spraying instead of
the bar.
The bar.
Yeah. There are quite a few areas that I thought, And then we're starting to get those red ants, too. And I'm thinking, while John is out there, he can put some of that stuff that kills those red ants.
Roundup.
Is it Roundup that does it? Mm-hmm. So in the street, you'll see these mounds of dirt coming up, and the ants are starting to go crazy. Just douse them. Because that stuff, they destroy the road.
Yeah, they do.
I also found that stuff from Ace, the yellow granules in the white tub, does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a little bit of that. It only takes a little bit. They take it back to the queen and they all leave.
Yeah. So I, when I see the ants actually start being active, I'm driving up and down the road, I'll just sprinkle a little in it, because that'll actually undercut the roadway.
Of what he's talking about?
Well, it's probably very similar stuff. Probably not, just...
Do you have the name of it?
Well, I use Roundup, because that's easy. I can grab it from Walmart. I'm not going for the Ace version.
All I know is even the little tiny fine things will manage to take those back, and they'll be gone from the huge ones. It doesn't matter. Any kind of ant, you put that stuff down. I get it from Ace. It's just in a little white tub. Put a little down, and within 2 days, they're gone.
So, given that he's going to be going around with glyphosate, though, we might as well just...
Well,
we could get another...
During the roadway, I try to douse them whenever I see them on the road. In the roadway.
Mm-hmm. But not every roadway gets used in there.
That's true. Yeah. They don't really make a lot.
They're doing a lot of
all
damage.
That dirt you see piled up came from underneath the road. Roads can collapse.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something we all ought to. We see how we all just ought to
make
sure we douse it.
Make sure I've got it extra.
Yeah, I'm gonna start carrying that stuff in my car or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, my tractor's in the shop.
Well, anyway, so we don't have to approve this, do we?
No, I just wanted to see if there was a timing.
So we had kind of agreed that we should go ahead and do one more here before the rains come in the winter, and John can just figure out when and coordinate with whoever to get the
Because we get into November time, right about mid-November, we start getting the light winter rains.
Yeah, that's the.
And I don't know anything about the spray, the herbicide, but it just seems to me like we need something to actually take it to the roots and rain. We need to get it applied before the rain hits.
Yeah.
Systemic action.
The thing you have to watch is how long is that stuff good for in the sun before it decays and it doesn't go
That's
down
true.
Anymore. And I know for the one of them it was 3 weeks. So if we're within a couple of weeks of a rain, that tends to be good, or optimal, I should say.
Either mid-November or the first week of December. So.
Or if you see a rain coming and you have the wherewithal.
Probably it takes two to 3 days to get it all deployed.
The fence line is a day, and then the rest of the property is 2 days.
Yeah, so it's a 3-day event if you think rain's coming.
Yeah.
And if he has the time.
Right. And he doesn't have 3 days left. Anyways, I think you've got the go-ahead. I'll relook at the glyphosate
concentration. See if we can bump that a little bit.
Here's the other thing. Somehow the mouse that we purchased for the association went missing the last time John was out.
I'll just go get one and charge you for it.
That's what would be
perfect.
Great.
Mouse?
Huh?
Mouse?
No, the mask.
Oh, well,
that was respirator.
It was 50 or 60 bucks, and it just disappeared.
It was in a shopping bag.
Yeah.
All wrapped up, and it was next with all the chemicals and stuff like that, because I remember I put
it
right
there
on
the
pallet someplace
back
and forth.
No, I went and looked, and it's not there. The last time John came out.
I'll look at my garage again to see if I misplaced it, but I don't think I would have thrown that away.
Yeah, so that's the second one. We had donated one, and that disappeared, and then this one's gone too. So we really do need to keep everything kind of all together here, because just being out is not good. And who knows? Who knows what happened? But so just go ahead and get another one, Home Depot or wherever.
Okay.
Sounds like a helicopter. All right.
Customs.
The next topic under new business is prospective future events to promote Air Park. I know I don't have the energy to do that, but does anyone have a conversation they'd like to have on this?
I'm wondering if we should just table this until the CCNRs are done.
Yeah, I think so.
Good idea.
We're all just swamped. It's just...
That's item for next spring.
Yeah, it's really hard to sell hangers and to sell lines and bring people to do marketing without CCNRs.
Yeah. Yeah, CCNRs and a plan for the common area.
That would make it a lot more. Okay, so we'll just table this until CCNRs and a common area plan.
I have one more.
Just wake me up if I fall asleep.
Okay.
I'm tired?
Been up since 2 o'clock Arizona time, got off at noon. Now I'm kind of burning out.
Okay, we're almost done here. So I have one more new business item, and that's the association mailbox. I did do a change of address to Adam, so we're not getting any more mail here. It's all going to Adam, and which is handy because I think the DeFazios are going to need a mailbox. So I have the key here for the DeFazios. Does anybody have a problem if I now hand over the key for box 15 to go to the DeFazios?
No.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we'll do that. Any topics for the future that we want to put on next month's agenda in the business? We'll definitely need to relook at the security system.
When are we going to start talking about water?
What about water?
All distribution and stuff like that.
I don't understand.
Well, you know, we're talking about trying to combine ways that combine properties to.
Oh, the wells. Yeah. After the CCNRs are done.
Is that also subset to get agreement letters from some of the financial institutions that?
Well, again, if we had CCNRs and we went to a financial lender and said, look, we have our CCNRs done. We have a plan for developing our area. And, by the way, we basically are trying to figure out how to be able to supply water to the properties.
How can we sell? How can we sell? And how can residents sell their homes or buy homes or whatever the case is?
Yeah,
real estate transactions?
Yeah, I think that it's going to go hand in hand with CCNRs in our site or in our plans for the common area.
All right.
I think we need to actually look like we're organized and forward moving versus just wishing we could get a mortgage for this property and that property.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I won't have time to get the my plan on the wells is to actually have our lawyer put together a shared well agreement and at least have one done and then go to the bank and say, okay, here we are.
Will this work? Yeah.
Will this work? Yeah. Does this pass muster before I do all of them? But that'll be January before I get to that.
Yeah, I'd like to see us put that to bed.
Yes.
Are we going to...
So if you could put that on a future agenda so that we remember to pick up that one.
Are we going to assign wells to each property?
Yeah, so there would be... I have to relook at the rules, but I think it's 7 wells? 7 properties to a well, I think, is the maximum. But I have to go back and look at it. And
has anyone been turned down because of the lack of water?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're close.
Yeah.
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 Jerry couldn't get a mortgage because he got the well right across the street in the corner, catty corner to his property.
What kind of mortgage were you looking at?
A construction.
Anything. A construction loan. Anything. And
with what institutions?
Finally, the only way I could get a loan was when I financed 95% of it myself, or 90%. I ended up having to take a loan out to finish the house off, but because the loan to value ratio of the whole place was so small, they went ahead and ignored the fact that I didn't have access to continuous water supply and loaned me the money anyhow. And that was Washington Federal. But it was kind of a one off.
Yeah.
It's mainly the construction loans that seem to be the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the other
ones. Also,
I haven't had an impact at any recent, I've been contacted maybe a couple, 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and I present the section of the CCNR and a letter that goes out, and
mm-hmm.
I've never had anybody object to it, but that's a resale. It's not a new construction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So that'll go on new business our old business for some other time. Not January. Yeah. Okay. That was a good one. So anything else? Okay, at this point I'm going to move to adjourn the meeting, and we do have an executive session to go on, but we will terminate the phone call. So Ted, Alan, anything else you want to contribute?
I'm good so far. Thank you very much. And I'm going to go find some snacks now.
Okay, good for you.
Since I didn't get any of yours.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks. So I have a motion out there. I move to adjourn the meeting. Someone's not there. I move to adjourn the meeting of the Ruby Star Park Property Owners Association Board of Directors meeting.
I'll second.
Motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.